Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Napa know-how.
Get all the quality parts you need at your locally owned Napa. Because right now, when you order from Napa online, you can pick up curbside at your local store in just 30 minutes. Or get your order delivered direct to your door with free one-day shipping and over 160,000 quality parts when you spend $35 or more. Quality parts delivered quickly and safely. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating stores, standard ground shipping and exclusions apply.
The DrinkWorks Home Bar by Keurig is the perfect gift or addition to a small gathering. The Home Bar makes over 30 drinks from cosmopolitans to old fashions at the push of a button. Just insert the pod, press start, and enjoy. Each DrinkWorks pod contains real ingredients and premium spirits. For a limited time, get $50 off the Home Bar with promo code PLAY. Go to DrinkWorks.com to order now. DrinkWorks, press play. Keurig is a registered trademark of Keurig Green Mountain Inc., used under license. Please enjoy responsibly.
John Rocha and Matt Nost are here to bring you the top 10.
Welcome, everybody, to a brand new episode of the Top 10 Show. I am John Rocha.
I am Matt Nost.
You know, guys, going to start that way.
All yeah, right. I'm going to start ahead. That way. Why Please. Not? Why not? We had a pre-show show, and
we did. Yeah,
we had a nice little talk out. So yeah. We're here for you guys now.
And we lost to the annals of history.
You guys
would have loved it,
unfortunately.
But we would have been fired.
Fired by who?
Fired by our fans, maybe.
Some of them.
Some of them. Some yes. Of them. Some of them, yes. Not everyone.
It's nothing against you as fans. It's just the jokes between us. You'd be like, I don't appreciate that. Well,
that's a bit too blue.
Anyway, so
yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm going along as much as I can post Collider. Really happy about how many people have come aboard my YouTube channel. You know, it's over 11,000 subscribers, which is pretty insane.
It's a thing of beauty.
Yeah, it's already monetized, which I was blown away by. And the Patreon I started for what I'm trying to do there has kind of gone. It's just above 500, which is nice. I wanted to get it to 2,000 if I can, so I can really start paying people to come on the shows and be guests with me on shows and build it up from there.
Sure.
I had deals. I was negotiating with somebody for a studio, but that fell through today, which really sucked and sent me back down the hole for a couple of hours, but I'm climbing back out. Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
There's other studios.
Yeah, there is, but this one was free.
I know. You showed me the pictures.
Yeah.
You asked me, hey, you want to do a walkthrough?
Yeah.
It's like, let's talk next week.
Yeah, well, don't need to talk anymore.
Well, you know, c'est la vie. It's not as though you had to walk through and then really start to visualize and taste it even more.
Yeah.
And then for the rug to be yanked out.
That's what Roxy said. Roxy said, you got to look at it this way. At least now you know, and you don't spend another minute depending on it.
Yeah.
Or you're wasted thinking about it. You can just move on
to
the next thing.
It sucks, but that's life.
Yeah.
You got to move on because otherwise it's woe is me every time something bad happens?
Can't keep doing that.
You can't.
Right, right.
Life is too short.
No shit. And you're going to take all the hits anyway. So you got to be able to deal with them as they come along.
Yeah. Life is not out to get you. Life just doesn't give a shit about you.
That's the ugly truth.
It is.
Yeah.
You have to, unfortunately, it's nothing like the average stranger does not dislike you. They don't think about you at all. Honestly, you don't register on some level as a person. You're just an obstacle, like me getting down the aisle, me doing this, driving through traffic, which we both had to deal with
today.
To get here.
Yeah,
it just happens sometimes. It's other human beings like, I don't like.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah, it's basically it. Yeah. I got to get to where I'm going.
Uh-huh.
You're in the way or you're around the way. I don't have time to have a Christmas moment with you. I got to get to where I'm going. And that's kind of usually how it is. You're right. You're right. And that's what Roxy said. She taught me something today. We were talking. It's the three P's that she learned growing up.
It's sure.
Personal, perseverance, and persistence, something like that. And so she was just saying it's never personal. You have to persevere and persist to get where you want to get to. So something like that. I'm probably misquoting her, but that's what she said. But anyway, it was a good conversation to kind of pick me back up again. But I was like – because I got big dreams, Matt. I got big dreams now. I'm trying to make things happen.
Well, it sounds like you found a yogi. So hold on to that little Delphic oracle and let her guide you down the path of life.
Right.
Don't let her go. If you open up that payroll and outlaw, you might want to throw her a few shekels.
I mean, please. Yeah, we'll see what happens. But anyway, that's what's going on. What's going on with you?
Well, the Houston people. We have official where we put it on our Facebook groups, facebook.com/groups/the top 10 show, all spelled out. But this is what we got back. And hopefully by now you've gotten this. But purchasers will get an email with instructions as soon as the show is taken down.
Yeah.
So we asked them to take it down last week. And then I'm not sure when it'll go off. But as soon as it does, you guys will get an email and then follow that along. And if you have any trouble, you can email us top10show@gmail, all spelled out. And hit, let us know, or at Facebook or Twitter, at Matt Nostat, The Roka Says, or at Top 10 Show.
Yeah.
And we'll help you navigate that stuff. But so you should be getting an email. We are working on another venue. We are coming. London. Boom.
Yeah, London's happening.
London's happening.
May 2nd. There better be, y'all better be running to sell this place out. 400 seats. Be part of the accomplishment of selling out this place with the Top 10.
Yes.
Going global yet again. Going international. Come join us. Have a blast. Talk to people who went the first time. I saw some people tweet or post about it on Facebook. Can I go by myself? Hell yes, go by yourself.
Yeah.
There's going to be a shit ton of fans who will absolutely take you to their bosom and take care of you and have a good time during the show. And if you shout out that you're by yourself,
Mother Russia pulls you in, suckle at my teeth.
And if you shout out that you're by yourself, I will come and nestle you to my bosom at some point in the show.
That's beautiful. It's a cornucopia of love in London.
Just saying.
We're going to bring it all. Yeah, please. Yeah. And other people, Pele and Liam, who tried to help us out last year.
Liam DC,
they're going to bring like friends, family. Other people have reached out. Like, we're already getting texts and whatnot. Or not texts, but tweets.
Yep.
Saying, can't wait to see you guys, blah, blah, blah. You're wrong. Here was my number one. And you're like, all right. Fair enough. You're entitled to your opinion.
Of course.
Yeah, but it should be a ton of fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Working
yeah.
something extra. Maybe we do that group picture like we did in L.A.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Since we got the extra time.
Crap, all 400 people.
Figure out a way to do it.
Hell
before.
Yes.
Well, we got like 4 months to,
yeah, to
figure out the
out.
Logistics.
I think we have to get like Spanish fly, Spanish web, whatever that is.
You want to get everybody, you know, Spanish fly? You want to get them aroused for this picture? Everybody, take your knockoff Viagra, walk on up.
We use that Matt Damon shit from fucking Ocean's 13 and put a little waft in everybody's. No, but I mean, like, what's that stuff that hangs down that women like fly or like spin around and.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Cirque du Soleil style.
Yeah, right. So we'd have to climb up on two of those so that we can take a picture of all 400 people behind us. That would be brilliant.
Let's just get sex wings. Easy peasy. Then we just wrench it up. Where are we going to go? We're fully secure.
If we could add an element of being able to go through the crowd or being wrenched
over
the
wings.
But now
we're Kiss.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just flying.
That's right. That's what I'm talking about.
My Gene Simmons to your Paul Stanley. Or vice versa, whatever the case is. I just don't want to be Catman. That's
which one's the Ace Frehley? Is he the guitarist?
Yes.
I like Ace. I'm cool with Ace. I dig Ace. Yeah, I'm all right.
I got
Ace.
Nothing against that.
I don't need Gene. Gene's a little too much for me.
The theatrics never spoke to me.
Yeah.
But I get it. It's of a time. I mean, look at Alice Cooper. He was doing the same type of thing.
Fair
just
point.
Not to the straight choreography that they were doing, the repetition.
Right.
You know, that is very much a business these days.
It's not like they didn't have bad music. Like, Kiss had great music.
Hey, it's meat and potatoes to me, but I understand why people love it.
Like, Gore. Gore has great theatrics, but I don't like any of their songs. Kiss, I like their songs.
Yeah. But, you know, Gore is appealing to a very niche.
It is. It really is.
It's not saying we're for the masses.
Right. Gore.
So, that's what you got to appreciate him. I mean, I kind of like a couple of things here and there.
Okay.
I've listened to a lot of Gore.
Fair enough.
I had a heavy metal phase. I listened to a lot of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
I grew up with a guy who was massive into heavy metal. A friend of mine is Richard. He was such a massive fan of heavy metal. Mm-hmm. He turned me on. He turned me into Iron Maiden, turned me on to Judas Priest, turned me on to Metal Church. But I didn't like any of it. Like, I could never get into it the way he did. But I didn't have a lot of friends. So he was one of the few friends I had growing up at that time.
So you tried to get into
it. Right. I would go to his house and listen to him. And we'd sit in his bedroom and he'd play the records. Mm-hmm. And I would just listen. But like I could never get into it.
I see. I think as an adult, you might dig Maiden because it's more.
Iron Maiden with Eddie? Okay.
It's more trying to tell kind of various stories, so to speak.
Right.
And the songs are very well crafted. I mean, some of that, you know, is Judas Priest, so that's also meat and potatoes to me.
Well, how does Judas Priest end up in a State Farm commercial? And that's how old we got.
Because everybody's breaking the law. It's meaningless now.
Yeah, I guess so.
Back in the day, being in
it was a big deal back then.
Yeah, all that leather.
Yeah.
Oh my God, scandalous.
Right.
And now it's just like, well, okay.
Yeah.
I'm used to it. What else you got?
A lot of anger going on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, or they didn't induct Judas Priest or Soundgarden. This is interesting to me.
I know. And then they put in Whitney, Notorious B.I.G., and Nine Inch Nails.
Someone got really mad that, like, B.I.G. was a rapper for, like, 5 years. Priest has been doing music for that. I was like, come on, dude. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Well, I mean, for Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they're not wrong.
Well, it's B.I.G., man. That's lasting impact. That's Hall of Fame.
True, but what is this Hall of Fame then? I'm not against him
making it. I think it's about lasting impact.
But I'm saying the – okay.
Yeah.
But it's called the Rock and Roll, so some people take it on its face.
That's fair. Totally
and saying,
fair.
Well, what the – Judas Priest has been rock and roll since the 70s.
I think Judas Priest should have gotten in as
so
well.
Do I.
Yeah.
My
Soundgarden.
My bigger one is Whitney.
Yeah, huh? Oh, in the Rock and Roll Hall.
At least Biggie still brings the same type of bravado and machismo that you're accustomed to from guys of that age making music.
Right, and if you talk
about rock and roll.
Right, and if you talk about the foundation of rock and roll, which is rebellious and sex and things of that nature, Biggie was all about that.
Cross-pollination in the early 80s with DMC and Aerosmith.
Right.
There's this mid-marriage of, like, we're both doing the same things.
Rock and roll in a different genre.
Yeah. It's your generation's, you know, when you make music, but we're all living rock stars. We're living like, you know, pop stars, rap stars, whatever you want to call
it. Whitney was not rock.
I mean, she did a lot of drugs.
Oh, yikes.
Well, for that aspect of rock and roll.
Well, true.
I'm sorry. Why are you doing weird vaudevillian takes? Tex Avery here. Exactly. Got my eyes just come flying out. Oh, dude, we got to get that on that live stream.
Oh, my God. Those would be great.
Fuck yeah. I will show up to do the Tex Avery. It's not a problem. If you need somebody, yes, the big heart, all that stuff. If I blow my stack, my face turns into one of those steam whistles. Hell yes. I'm in for all of it.
I like heel. Yeah. Sucker. I like sucker. He turned into a lollipop. That was my favorite. Sucker. It's always that music cue, too.
Yeah, Whitney, it's just like in Nine Inch Nails, I understand they're more electronica, but it's still rock edge.
Yeah.
That's closer to the mark to me.
Yeah, I'm cool with Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah, I'm fine with all of them.
And Reznor is still going. Reznor's still working, so kind of.
Well, he's moved into, like, composing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But he's still working. I mean, that Watchmen score was incredible for the TV show.
So. Yeah, I'm not taking anything away from it.
Yeah.
I just, what's the definition by which we let people in? Because that's what individuals are getting confused about.
That's a fair point, actually.
And I don't know how you define that.
Right.
It's like an esoteric, it's these things.
Yeah, how is Whitney in rock and roll? Like,
I don't know.
Thing.
Like, all-time legendary pop star? 100%.
Right.
100%.
Pop Hall of Fame? Totally.
Music Hall of Fame.
Music Hall of Fame, even. Yeah, fair point. Even more generalized.
How bloated would those shows be? Do we just open up to all music? I mean, because I've fast-forwarded through some of, you know, rock and roll to watch and to, like, see certain speeches and see, oh, they're not, you know, like Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
I watched that one because they're not going to perform anymore.
Right.
As a group, because the group isn't complete.
Yeah.
So, like, what are you guys going to do in place of? This is interesting. I like this.
Mm-hmm.
But music, like, they already do, what, 4 or 5 bands. They all get their speeches plus.
You're right, performance.
Performance.
It's like 3 hours for the Rock and Roll Hall.
Yeah, so music, what is this, a 2-day event?
Yeah.
It's 6 hours?
Yeah.
Every year?
Yeah.
Or we do it every, like, twice a year. There's a winter and a summer.
Yeah.
Like Olympic style. We got to catch up. There's been a lot of music. There's a lot of people. Because otherwise, it's going to be like Tex Williamson for for the country category and be like, I don't know who that is.
I don't know. I have no idea who that is.
Yeah.
He wrote how many songs? Okay.
Unless you go, like, you had to, you know, stop making music 50 years and then you can make it in.
That's fair.
But I don't know how that appeals to modern generations.
Yeah.
None of their music is going to be on this award show. So
they'd be very mad.
It's doomed to fail, matter what.
They're already mad about the Oscars. You can't put this thing. People are so mad.
What are you going to do? Of course they're mad.
People are so mad.
Of course they're mad.
It's insane how mad
I saw someone attack someone we know, and I was laughing, laughing in this.
Well, attacking? You mean online?
Yeah, I won't say who it was, but one individual expressed a completely rational, well-thought-out, like, you know, this didn't happen, but I would really have liked to seen this individual get nominated.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
And someone responded, what would you take out? And he was like, X. And well, I just said he, but he was like X. And then the other individual was like, well, that, what the fuck? Like, this other dude came in out of nowhere and was just blew it up. And the individual we know is trying to be rational every time.
Right.
Was calm and measured and just like, this is this. I never said that. This yeah. was this. And then this is this. And then eventually he was like, all right, man.
Yeah, you're just what? Looking to fight.
Yeah, I, you know, I'm having a conversation.
Was it two people we know just going at each other?
No, it was
oh,
one
it was
we know.
Some random dude.
And some random dude.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. You open yourself. As soon as someone comes hard at you on Twitter, you're opening yourself up for a 20-tweet thread. It's a mistake. It's a mistake. I've certainly made my share of mistakes on that end, so... Yeah, it's a mistake. You're never going to win him back.
No, just let it go. You're fighting ghosts.
Exactly. What I try to do now is like look at how many followers they have, and then I decide if I want to interact in a debate about something.
Yeah.
Makes kind of how I look at it, because it's like, well, it looks petty to be fighting with someone with 10 followers or
nice
7 followers.
Spin. Nice
spin. That's what I feel
spin.
Like. I saw somebody with like, I don't know, 400,000 followers going at someone with 10. And using them as some example. And I was like, this guy's 10 followers.
Yeah.
They're not an example of anything other than maybe their immediate family who's following them.
Or your need to squash
yes.
an ant, in essence, if you have right. 400,000. How dare you
right.
step to my throne? Oh!
you find the one with the most followers that has the same point of view as the person with 10 followers. That way it has more resonance if you're going toe-to-toe with someone like that. So that's what I'm slowly learning on Twitter. But I try not to have any battles.
I think didn't you pick that up at the Stephen A. Smith Learning Annex class that he taught? She's like, "This is what you got to do." All right, Steve.
I'm disappointed. Disappointed.
It's so ridiculous
He's
and yet
insane. How does it work?
He is infinitely better than me than Skip Bayless. I never watch.
Oh, Skip is a dick. I don't like Skip.
Everything you say, I don't think you believe.
Yeah, not like, a word of it.
Not a word of it.
You're just doing it to needle.
I've never. Whereas Stephen A.
Like his,
he baits all these guys, and then there's pictures of him at D. Wade's wedding. He's been to a number of these guys' weddings. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant! Like, I know you. You better not say it. You're like, okay. You're really calling out a dude who could easily whoop you, old man.
Yeah. Exactly.
Easily whoop you.
I know. That was weird when he was doing
that. Reach alone, jab, you're done. You can't do anything. Just when he calls him out, it's great. Anyway, that has nothing to do with movies. How are we? That's back to the show.
One last thing. I love the way he does the weird kind of respect to the people he's just finished berating in front of, in the studio. Because mm-hmm. he'll go like I was watching him when he was talking about the Giants and that they were looking at that receivers coach from the Patriots. And it was Max Kellerman, a couple of people, and the young lady who was moderating the panel. And he goes, there's nothing wrong with what you're saying, Max. There's nothing wrong with what you're saying. There's nothing wrong with what you're saying. There's nothing wrong with what you're saying. But you're all wrong. And let me tell you why. Yeah. And you're just like, oh, my God. Shut the fuck up.
Well, my favorite is when he goes on a long, like, that guy is a bum. Should not have a job. I mean, no disrespect.
Right.
You're like, what does that mean?
That's
meaningless statement.
He was going
no
after
just the... We're both grown men. Yeah. Really, you insulted him for the first two sentences of that paragraph. No disrespect. Is that your absolution after saying something?
Right.
No disrespect. And you're like, that's entertaining. It's hypocritical, but it is entertaining.
Yeah, man. He did that with the receivers coach, like I was saying, from the Patriots to his becoming the head coach of the Giants. He goes, this guy has no track record being a head coach. He's got no he's never even been a coordinator. Mm-hmm. No offense, Jeff. I know he's going to get the job. He's going to make the money. But no offense. He has no credentials to have this job.
Precisely.
No offense.
No, none whatsoever. We're both grown men. Like, I don't know what this means.
$8 million a year. Yeah, God damn it, I got to crack that
nut. I hear more
nut.
Of his radio show driving around in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Than I do actually see him on TV.
I like Shine better. I like Shine better. Adam Shine. I like him. He's good on CBS Sports. I like him.
I usually just listen to news in the morning.
Oh, smart.
Eh, most new is sports hasn't broken, so what discussions are we really having?
True, fair point. Well, discussions we're having, segue, is
correct.
Top 10 British gangster
correct.
Movies.
British gangster movies.
In honor of the gentleman coming out from Guy Ritchie, which I missed the screening of this past Sunday because I was at Dan Merle's birthday party. But I wanted to go so bad to see if it was any good. And now I have to wait till the 25th, which sucks. So But yeah, we're excited to talk about this. Matt and I initially were kind of kicking this around, and we kind of were looking at maybe British crime movies, but then we were able to find enough British gangster movies to kind of create our top 10, and we're going to, of course, break them down like usual. Anything you want to say about it?
No. I'll be interested to hear your list.
Yeah, you too.
I had one omission, because initially when we were texting, I was like, I'm only at 6 or 7, but I was in the car, so I needed to look it up, and you're like, oh, okay. There's numerous within this, because in my head I thought of 4 or 5, and then I was like, I think I'm stuck at 5, and then I stopped and thought a little bit more.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm hitting my ceiling here. but I ran into one. I was like, I don't consider that. That's interesting to me, really. But, you know, all arguments can be made, I guess, as we just discussed. All arguments can be made. No disrespect.
No disrespect.
To whoever that is, that if you had that, We're all adults in this podcast.
Matt Nost, you're wrong. That's not number one. No disrespect.
Yeah.
Number one is this. You're wrong.
Good. I'm sorry. John Roga, you are wrong. Anyway, that's enough, Steven.
Yeah, I love Steven.
Because at least I do. I do a piss poor version. So
maybe that's why he makes $8 million, because we spend time talking about him.
It is.
It could be.
It is.
Anyway.
Look, he's honed his shtick.
Mm-hmm.
He's good at what he does.
I got to find that shtick.
Yeah.
Does that work in the entertainment world? I don't think it would work. 1917 is the best picture of the year. No offense.
Maybe.
No offense.
You could. You'd get away with it.
Yeah, you think so?
Look, if it worked in sports, why wouldn't it work in theatrics?
Fair time. Quentin Tarantino is the worst director I've ever seen. The worst!
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It spins it like that.
Yeah, right. That is a masterpiece.
Yeah.
Should be recognized as such. Anyway, all right. Enough. Matt, how's the show working?
Any hoozle. This is a weird one today.
Yeah, it is.
This is a weird one
today. Because we were in traffic for a fucking hour.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad I left early when you texted and you're like, this is hitting hard. And I was like, all right, I'll get there early because it took me the worst case for me.
Yeah.
And it was still probably 15 less than you.
Yep.
Not fun. What are you going to do?
Well, we made it. We're going to do it because we're for the fans.
Yeah, we're here for you.
We're here for you.
You're here for us. We're here for you.
I drove an hour in traffic for you.
The way the show works is once we set a topic, we go our individual ways and create personal top 10. Let's show back up here. I do my bottom three. He does his bottom three. I do my next two. He does his next two. Then we trade one apiece. Once we have revealed our personal top 10 list, we create the shows between the two of us.
Boom.
10.
Yeah.
Jump right in since we already, kibitzed enough. Rock and Roller.
Oh, okay. That's a punt.
Okay.
Into the upper area of the bottom five.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I figured fair as enough. Much. There's only right. It can only go so high.
Yeah. I have no honorable mentions. All right.
I know. I'm at 10.
Yeah.
I'm at 10.
Me too. Which is number 9?
There's a few all-time classics, apparently, that I've never seen.
Oh, okay. That's all right.
I don't have the time. And there are some that I've never heard of. And I was like, oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Number 9 for me is Don Hemingway.
That's my number 9.
Perfect time.
Dom Hemingway.
Jude Law.
Oh, so good in this movie.
Playing a guy that just got out of prison after being in there for a while.
He's a safe cracker.
Yeah, for not narking.
Yep.
He stayed in.
Yeah.
And he gets out and basically tries to reacclimate the life and get to meet his daughter.
Yeah.
And reestablish some sort of life.
Yeah.
And the Hartscrabble. I mean, that's got to suck, man. 10 years.
Yeah.
Just gone.
Yeah.
I can't imagine after, Well, you could have flipped on whoever it was.
Could you do prison? Could you really do? I couldn't do prison.
I don't know.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, no.
I couldn't do prison. It scares me. I couldn't do prison.
Every million years.
I could do prison if, I committed a crime, and for 10 years I got to be in that prison. But, for 10 years, nobody messes with me.
Good luck.
I get to read the library.
Good luck. Sounds like you did a white-collar crime.
Yeah, that I'd be okay with. I could do a 10-year stint on a white-collar crime. That's all right. I get to work out all I want.
Sure.
I get to go to the library.
Who doesn't want that? If the worst case scenario, that thing is way better.
Yeah. But the only problem is I have to crap in my own cell. I don't like that.
I'm pretty sure you get used to it.
Yeah?
Yes.
All right, fine.
You have to. You got to normalize the situation. That's why people get institutionalized.
Yeah, huh?
You slowly learn to develop and understand this regimented lifestyle that is being forced upon you.
I can't do it, man.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
That would be too difficult for me.
I need a stall. Maybe I could buy walls with the cigarettes. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Sounds like you think you got a spacious cell here. Once again, white collar. I think you'd be all right on this.
I'm going to embezzle some money. I'm not going to kill anybody.
Look, if you got all that, then you're like the mob bosses that run it.
Right. I cannot take a crap in that cell. Anyway, Dom Hemingway is fantastic. I think he has a Cockney accent or a new. I'm sure our British friends will.
He does some
this.
Sort of
right,
like a criminal accent to me.
Yeah,
just that's how it's portrayed in movies usually. This guy's in these types of
Yeah,
this is one of those. That's Jolly Pete. And you're like, all right. I love some of the nicknames that they get in movies.
They're the best.
Yeah, yeah. Some of them are awesome, and others are just like, wow, really?
Yeah.
I guess.
That's Sheila. Okay, that's Sheila then. Richard E. Grant's in this thing. I forget who's the Italian guy. If it's Demian Bashir, I think it's Demian Bashir who's in that, who plays the Spanish or Italian guy who he owes money
Amelia
to.
Amelia Clark.
Amelia Clark plays his daughter, right? Uh-huh. It's actually kind of a sweet film.
It's got a heart.
Right? Because he's trying to reconnect with his daughter, and it starts out brutally when he beats up the dude who was dating his wife or sleeping with his wife or whatever. And you're just like, what am I in for? And it becomes this absolutely insanely weird gangster film. And this, when he's trying to break into that safe and he's having sex with the safe, you're just like, what is happening here? And then you see as the film goes along, his main focus eventually is to try to reconnect with his daughter, and he takes the hits for it. And it isn't until the whole shit finally all comes down that he realizes what he has to do. And then at that point, he becomes one of the sweetest dudes you could ever meet. So it's just a fascinating film.
It is. And it's part of the string of Jude Law's Black Sea. It's a movie that's really good and nobody went to see it, unfortunately.
Right.
Like, you're putting out quality work.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be like Joaquin and go through this. He's got the steady, and then somebody finally goes, you know what would be great for this is Jude Law.
Yeah.
He's been churning out, like Sam Rockwell for years, churning out great work. And then eventually it's like, yeah, this guy's great. Why don't we put him, certain people start picking him for better and better stuff. Although Jude Law's had that run.
He did.
It's up and down. Yeah. It's up and down. But he's going to be part of our lives probably for the rest of it.
Oh, sure. I mean, he was in Captain Marvel as the villain, basically. And so, he'll pop up in certain things because he's just in the Sherlock Holmes. There's a third one coming. Mm-hmm. He's always solid. And he's always good. And he's always electric to watch. No matter what it is you're watching him in, he has this just incredible ability. One of the biggest things that I ever missed was seeing him do Hamlet. He did Hamlet
interesting
in the 2000s, the mid 2000s, 2010,
what, 2008. West End?
Yeah, I think so. And they used snow on the stage. They really dropped snow on the stage from the top. It was insane. But I don't know if there's a way to watch that entire production. Because look, I love Hamlet, but I only like it done by I got to really love the actor to watch it again.
Okay.
And I would have loved to have seen his version and Cumberbatch's version of Hamlet. And I saw Ralph Fiennes do it in the 90s in New York. And that was incredible.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So you got to have the right actor. You're right.
Yeah.
Right.
Ralph Fiennes. Doesn't matter what the guy does. You always go, man, he's good. It's really impressive. When you got it, you got it. Even if it's a really tiny role or something. Just like, dude, he's stealing this.
You just know. Right. Exactly. You just know.
Yeah. You just see it. It's just it's almost like craftsmanship walked into the room, and you're like, boom.
Yeah.
You just – who can't spot quality? That's quality. There you go.
That's objective.
It is. Real. It's when we all – to the layperson, they make it look so effing easy.
Yeah.
No matter what it is. They could be an accountant, and they're just rifling through. back in the day, the old paper ones.
Right.
People that didn't even have to look and, scanning numbers or documents over here. This hand is autonomous on its own. You're like – oh my God!
Perfect.
Looks like I could do that, but
yeah,
no chance in hell. Anyway, so that's Don Hemingway.
That Dom Hemingway. What's your number eight?
Eight is The Bank Heist.
Oh, I never saw that one, so it didn't make my list. But please,
surprisingly good.
Yes, Jason Statham. Right?
Jason Statham and a collection of various characters.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of orchestrate this.
Wait, the bank? You mean the bank job?
Oh, the bank job. Sorry.
Yeah.
I actually wrote down as Bank Heist. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
I just remember off memory, and I was like, oh yeah, The Bank Heist. I saw it in the theater, and then it was on Netflix a year ago.
Yeah.
I typed it out all professionally.
I like that.
With a completely wrong title for one of my 10. So that's the quality of professionalism that you're getting from me.
Yeah, man. The bank job. Good stuff.
I would thoroughly recommend it.
Okay.
It's a fun little caper heist movie.
Okay.
It doesn't have the seriousness of Inside Man.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's not that gritty.
Uh-huh.
But it's still grittier than you anticipate it being with Statham. just because he does so much of the action-y schlock. So it's going to be, like, in essence, another Italian job, and it's a lot of quick cuts and cool, fast action sequences and whatnot. And it's more they're just pulling off an old caper in London, and I want to say this. Late 60s, early 70s?
It's based on a true story.
I think so,
From what I understand, him and Saffron Burroughs is in this thing as well.
Okay. I can remember a lot of the actors' faces. Couldn't tell you their names.
Yeah. She lives in Los Angeles, man. I ran into her one time at the Bagel Broker.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I just randomly ran into her.
I don't know where that is. Where's the Bagel Broker?
Right there on Fairfax and Beverly, right by the CBS studios. Yeah, they have like a little mini kind of strip.
I don't go out for bagels.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
So.
It's right there by the subway and shit and the Joom Bangkok Cafe. But I was just in there and there she was. And I was like, oh, I didn't say anything. And then like a week later, she was there again. And I was like, she must live here. And then she has her kids in the van again and shit.
Nice.
So as she was walking out, it was weird because we were walking out at the same time. Mm. I just said to her, I really enjoyed a lot of your work, a lot of your movies, and I just wanted to say hi. And she was like, oh, it's very kind. I've got my kids, but it's very kind of you to take a second. And I was like, yeah, okay. And I left. Because she's unsettling because she's so beautiful in person. You're just like, goddamn. Oh, yeah. Goddamn. Those big eyes. Goddamn.
It's always the case.
Yeah.
Like, wow, you are striking.
Yeah. Like Scarlett Johansson in person? Fuck. Like I've never gotten it. Like I never thought she was that attractive.
Oh, on the screen?
Yeah, on the screen. And then I saw her in person at an Iron Man 2 thing at Comic-Con one time. My God, I was like,
of course.
I fucking get it. Totally get it.
There's a magnetism.
Yeah.
It's palpable.
You can sense it.
You can. It happens in everyday life too.
Yeah, true. When you run into somebody.
There's one example of the two of us and someone walked in and I tell you off. Mm. We both were like, you instantly like commanded the attention of like, hello. yes. Hey, how are you?
What would you like me to do?
Yeah. Okay. Once again, craftsmanship just walked in the room.
Yeah, that's right. You got to recognize it.
Every once and again, just like, yep.
Mm-hmm. Call attention to it. Yeah.
I'm surprised we're the same species as well. It's not shocking to me either.
I don't know if I go that far, but I get the sentiment.
Dude, have you ever been around somebody that is that pretty? You're like, dear God.
Yeah, maybe.
A buddy of mine.
Maybe.
His ex was this model, and we were hanging out at the store at the front bar, and it was raining, and she came running across. And another friend started doing it, was like, dude, your girlfriend is even hotter, like running through the rain. Who does that? Type. And she did. She ran up, and it was like it was out of a movie. And you're like, what is this? She is so much better looking than me. It's not even funny. It's not even funny. I've seen dudes like that, too. And you're like, nah. I don't know what your batting average is, but it trumps whatever mine is. That's for damn sure. It's like Mike Trout versus a Mendoza line. Yeah, I've been in that word.
That you works. Yeah. It works.
Well, to a sports fan. That's the next name. The name of my next album. Yeah, from Mike Trout to Mendoza. Or Mendoza Line.
Mendoza Line is perfect.
So, Banks, honestly,
yeah.
See it.
Okay. All right.
I think it's worth your time.
It's been on one of those lists that I have of like, I got to get around to this movie. So, yeah, I'll definitely watch it. All right, my number 10 is Legend, which is the Craze movie.
No, yeah. On my list.
Okay, I really like this one. The original Craze movie that came out in the 90s with the two dudes from Spandau Ballet, that was an interesting film. But then this came along, and this was Tom Hardy playing two different characters. And I forget the actress's name, Emily something, who was in Sucker Punch, the lead in Sucker Punch.
Okay.
And in the Lemony Snicket's film, she plays the girlfriend of one of the guys, but the other guy's kind of like, you know, likes her as a person, might be in love with her, you're not sure, but it's these two brothers, and it's a real, it's the craze, the real craze that existed. And Tom Hardy does an incredible job bringing both of these guys distinctly to life in completely different ways, and you're sucked into the story of what's going on here. Is it a great film? No, not by any stretch of the imagination, but his performances keep you so entranced by what's happening in the movie that you're just watching this all go down, and it's brutal when it needs to be brutal, and it's tender when it's tender, and it's like unsettlingly real when it calls for that. So I enjoyed the movie. It isn't good enough to go up into my top five or anything, but like enough to make the list.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. 10?
Yeah, 10.
I remember when it came out, and then the only thing I really know about it at this point is They kept the 2-star review between the two on the official poster. Mm. So all the people that gave it 4 stars or whatever else, I think it was the Guardian gave them 2 stars.
Yeah, yeah.
But they just put it between the two of them, the negative space between their arms. But they cut off Guardian as well. But you could tell it was from Guardian.
Yeah.
So it implies 4 stars. That's how they hid
oh.
a 2-star from the country. Made it look like it was 4. It's brilliant when
that
you see it.
Smart.
Here, I can pull that up.
That is funny as hell. Yeah, I mean, it's a I forget who directed it. Because they've done a bunch of things as well. But yeah, I really enjoyed what Hardy did here. Yeah, Emily Browning. That's the actress's name.
That one. It's between their heads, not their arms. Okay?
That is absolute
genius.
Isn't
it brilliant?
Yeah.
I saw that. That made me want to watch the movie in and of itself right there. But everybody came back and they're like, it's fine.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, that sucks. Because that alone, I love it.
Genius.
I love it.
Yeah.
Is genius. It is. It's giving accreditation. It's exactly the 2-star.
Ronnie and Reggie.
Yeah, so the Guardian and MTV gave it 4. Yeah, so they just imply.
All right. So Brian Helgeland directed this thing. This is his last thing he's directed. He did 42. He did Payback. A Knight's Tale.
Okay. Yeah. He's made some stuff I like.
Yeah. He's got 2 of the films coming up.
A Knight's Tale is a movie that should not work and yet somehow does for me.
Oh, yeah. Totally. It's anachronistic as hell, but it still works.
It does. Yeah. It really does.
You're like, what the hell? How is this possible? I agree.
It's honestly, it's a testament to all the actors because they pull off this absurdity and yet it feels believable.
Yeah.
You know, with Paul Bettany with the sonnets over the top and Alan
right.
Tudyk as the almost the lovable imbecile.
Yeah.
You know, the George.
Yeah. Mark Addy. As the kind of
best friend,
yeah, the kind of chubbier guy, uh-huh. and then Laura Frazier, who plays the assistant with them all, and then Shannon Sassamon plays the prince.
Good pull,
yeah, thank you, man.
Good pull.
She was, they were trying to make her happen for a while.
They were. Mm. Friend of mine's got a good story about her.
Not
that kind of good story.
Okay, okay. Yeah. All right. What's your number? Well, that was your number. Okay, that was my number 10. 9, Dom Hemingway. Number 8 is Gangster Number 1.
That's the one I was like, oh, I've never heard of that. The Paul Bettany.
Yeah. It is so fucking good.
The description is basically just like a shit ton of violence.
It really is. And in one sequence, you're doing it from the point of view of the guy.
Okay.
So the entire scene is the guy killing this dude piece by piece you are the point of view of the guy.
Perfect.
Killing the guy. It's mind-blowing. The whole scene is through his eyes. And you're just like, oh, this is so unsettling. And the guy like pleads and fights and does whatever and then starts laughing at him while he's cutting him up into pieces. It's nuts. And Roddy McDowell, Malcolm McDowell is the Paul Bettany in the future. So this is all him remembering how he went up the ranks to become Gangster Number 1 because he's self-reflecting. I think either he knows he's about to get killed or he's about to go to jail or something. And so he's reflecting back on all the shit he went through to try to move up the ranks.
Okay.
And Paul Bettany is stellar in this movie and brutal. And it's something you rarely see him play.
No, that's why it was intriguing.
Yeah, it's so good. Dude.
Saw the poster and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And then a couple stills and I was like, maybe if I got time to watch this, I'll watch it.
Like you told me Bank Job, I would tell you this. Absolutely see this. You'll enjoy it.
I rewatched one for this.
Mm, cool.
Still got to my list once I opened it up, but I wanted to make sure on that.
Yeah.
But before I went, if I freed up more time to see Gangster Number 1.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looked interesting.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. I would definitely recommend it.
I'm in.
I'm trying to see, let me see who else is in this thing because there's like so many good British motherfuckers up in this thing. Oops, sorry. Too much cussing there. Sorry about that. Yeah, David Thewlis is in this. David Thewlis plays his boss, who is like moving him up the chain.
Sure.
But then he eventually turns on him because...
okay, well, don't spoil
for... Yeah, all right, there we go. I'll leave it at that. Yeah, Paul Bettany. Saffron Burroughs also in this one. Saffron Burroughs. Everyone else. Eddie Marsan is in this. The guy from... who is it? The guy that does this stuff? Andrew Lincoln from Love Actually and Walking Dead's in this thing. Yeah. It's a number of people who are in from Ray Donovan, the guy who does this from Ray Donovan.
Oh, never watched it.
Anyway, yeah, good film. So what's your 7?
7 is Get Carter.
All right, that's my number 6. The original, right?
Yeah.
All right.
No, the Stallone one's trash. That's the one I saw, unfortunately, first. And it's trash.
Mm-hmm.
And
it could have been so fucking good, and it's not good.
It's a lot of Stallone.
Yeah. About him being cool.
He went through a weird phase.
Yeah, man. There was a number of films that you're just like, what are you doing? And then eventually he was back on track.
I love that I just recently heard the story, whether or not it's true, and this could have been passed around for decades, that Schwarzenegger feigned genuine interest in Stop or My Mom Will Shoot to get Stallone to bite on the project, even though Schwarzenegger hated it and thought it was terrible. If that is true, man. He was governor. It makes a lot of sense.
Look, Schwarzenegger was known for being the best at those mind games. Watch Pumping Iron. I mean, he turns
Dude,
everybody to
Ferrigno's
jelly.
Dad is clowning his own son because Schwarzenegger is like, you can't beat me. And he's like, you could try, Lou. You can try, but it's, look at him. You're like, come on, man. It's your dad.
Man, just mess with him totally.
Yeah, it worked.
Yeah. Colombo, too.
My favorite, just the utter pretension. But he believes it is when a guy asks him for posing help at the Gold's Gym. And he's like, no, see, here's where you're doing it wrong. And it's the slightest of tweaks in what he knows. It's just ridiculous.
It's brilliant, man.
But at the same time, he was Mr. Universe I don't know how many times.
Yeah, exactly. So
and became stupid famous because he worked on his physique.
Yep.
The world is a strange place sometimes.
It really is, man. But you got to have that charm. Like you said, you got to walk into a room and you just know,
When you're that big, you need to dominate with personality as well.
Fuck, man. Sitting in the room with Stallone that one time when I interviewed him for Rambo, I was just like, oh, man, this is – and he seems like a cool dude. He seems like you'd be like, I would love to get into your sphere just to be able to hang out with you. I don't have to record anything just to hang out with you, Seems cool.
He does. Just saying. But I think that that ship has sailed.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Right.
Well, my guess is he hangs out with dudes that are 20 and 30 years older, and those are all his friends. You know what I mean? Guys.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's him and Grillo hang out, and Joe Carnahan is over there sometimes. Pacino hangs out with him.
I knew that one.
They were all watching some kind of boxing event, and Stallone or whatever did a whole video of it on his Instagram or on his Twitter, and you're just like, all those motherfuckers are in the room? Holy crap. Wow. Anyway.
It's interesting when you find out who's friends with who.
Yeah, it's badass.
It is badass. Well, that's why I really wanted, to meet Harry Dean Stanton.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was friends with everybody.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, and then we had Harry Dean was my best man. Like, what? You were best friends with him? That's interesting as shit.
Yeah.
Because I also know you're really good friends with this dude over here and this posse of individuals, and everybody loves Harry Dean.
Everybody loves Harry Dean?
I would love to know Harry Dean because there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
That dude's probably fun and chill and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. Seems like. So that was your number 7?
Yeah, Get Carter. We didn't talk about it at all.
Oh, my God. We totally talked
about it. Yeah, the original. The Michael Caine. So it's a slow build.
It is.
But...
And it is dated. It's a very 70s film.
But it's also very early 70s.
Yes.
And it's, super interesting through that lens. The build is, I think, justifiable enough. Just know going in, it's going to be an early 70s film. So just once it gets into gear, it's like, it'll get there.
Yeah.
It takes a little of that. I don't know. Just had to overset up characters still. Thank God we've all, been educated on that now at earlier and earlier ages and just updated on the formula so we can skip a lot of this.
Yeah, right.
Through no fault of their own, when did talkies start? Late 20s, early 30s?
Sure, 1927.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Oh, I'm saying the jazz thing.
Did you? Well,
yeah.
I'm assuming you learned that if you didn't know before for Schmodown and just kept
going. No, I knew it before. Yeah. Way back when. I used to watch film documentaries all the fucking time growing up in my 20s and 30s. Everything. Consumed it.
How many are there?
There's a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you get your hands on?
Yeah, because IFC used to show them, Sundance used to show them, and then they'd have them on VHS at certain movie shops like Blockbuster or whatever, way in the back, like in the documentary section. You'd have there's one that goes in the early stage. There's one that tackles European film, and it's like 5 DVDs, and it goes from the beginning of film in Europe, like fucking 1800s.
Interesting.
All the way up into that. And you see the progressions of stuff and what they were able to do.
See all the hazardous makeup they used to have to wear.
Yeah, that too. But the visuals that they were able to get with the limited technology they had back then, you're just like amazed at what they were able to do to convey certain things like witches and demons flying through the air. And this the German cinema really kind of was into that kind of stuff. So it's fascinating.
Yeah, telling more fairy tale-ish.
Yeah.
That's all the visuals from that. which is one where they shoot the bullet at the moon. It's a cannon.
Right,
but it's
right.
basically a space capsule bullet.
Yeah, that's the...
And it lands like right in the side.
Yeah.
All of that, honestly, you know it's not, but it's done well enough to where this is still interesting to this day.
Oh, yeah. Méliès, I think, is the director. Yeah. He's the guy in Hugo. Kingsley plays him in Hugo, in okay. the film Hugo. It's Méliès. It's French. Yeah, it's a rocket that goes into the eye, and then they all jump out. The Smashing Pumpkins did their video of that.
Perfect reference. Yeah. From 25 years ago?
Look, that film was from 100 years ago.
Tonight.
I love that song.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
It's my favorite one of theirs.
Is it?
Yeah. Bullet with Butterfly Wings is good. That's a good song, but I like that one. Tonight's good.
I understand. Like I understand the hookiness of it and yeah. the craftsmanship. It's really good. It's, his voice is always.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
People hated his version of Landslide.
See, I'm cooler with that.
Really? Okay.
Because I think that's now, I've heard various interpretations, so that right. could be very interesting.
Yeah.
And you could have been like a Hendrix with Along the Watchtower.
Oh, yeah.
And your reorchestration now is the gold standard that everybody does.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
It could be interesting. That's why, mm-hmm. all right, well, let's see what your artistry can bring to this, because you're damn good.
Yeah.
I mean, you have all the craftsmanship on some level to me is like Jack White, but I like his style speaks to me more.
Yeah.
But you have created an entire universe for yourself. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. Today is the greatest day of ever. All right. Yeah, why are you breath singing in this first verse?
That's not my jam.
No.
Neither is 1979. I don't like that song either.
Catherine's favorite band was this. I can't remember but the name of the band, but this song was Bleeding Hearts Baby. It is so annoying.
Never heard of
it. It's this pop punky.
Okay.
More, you know, poppy from 2004, 2005.
Bleeding Hearts Baby?
Yeah. Here, I'll.
Yeah.
I will send you a link because if we play it, then we could get, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We can't really do.
I just want to know who the group is. Because that's interesting as hell to me. Oh.
I guess Head Automatica?
Head Automatica. Never even heard.
But the guys, between every line. It's a band, whatever, when he sings. Yeah. So when he gulps for air, it's this seductive, but it sounds so disgusting. And her and a couple of her friends just loved it. It's like, this dude is so annoying. I understand why you enjoy it.
Right.
But to me, this is, you know, the first dude you saw in leather pants. You're trying way too fucking hard, my friend.
Yeah, it's weird.
Go ahead. Listen to that at your own leisure.
Okay.
It's catchy.
Yeah.
I understand. It's annoying as shit.
The good thing about Get Carter, too, is you get to see Michael Caine in his prime, man, being a badass.
Owning it.
Really owning it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see Alfred in the Batman movies, you know, and it's been brought up recently in the last few years, the last couple of decades, that Alfred has this backstory that he used to be a former, like, British Special Forces guy, and he could kill people.
SAS.
And so, like, that's part of the training of Bruce. That was some things have been made of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so to see Michael Caine back then, you're like, oh, you remember. If they had played with that in the Nolan films, it would have been believable.
Could have been, yeah. I could see that.
Yeah. He comes back and he does the thing. Like, Harry Brown is a great one, too, where he comes back. He's like a retiree. And this, like, brutal.
But don't you think it plays into more of the believability than to have the Morgan Freeman character? Because if he's this butler that just happens to also be this on top of a cape crusader, it gets to this, wow, this seems all very convenient to the average person.
Which right.
You just made him that, but he's more of a father
mm-hmm.
to you.
Yeah,
it's like,
okay,
there's his dad. And then his dad obviously knows what's going on with Morgan Freeman and whatnot. But Freeman is the one that has all the capabilities on this side.
Right.
So... But that's an interesting tack.
Yeah.
The Irons version is closer to that.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Right.
Which
exactly.
I found it as an interesting take.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to have seen more back and forth with him. And that was a believable where maybe Alfred shows up in the Batmobile to pick him up or something at some point.
You would have accepted that. Because
they built it up. You see him working on it. You see him always kind of doing something in the background. He's not staying idle.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, Get Carter... it's good.
Yeah.
It's very good. You should definitely go see it if you've never seen it.
Agreed.
Six for me is get ready to say the words punt, snatch.
That is just a slight punt.
Okay.
Yeah. So then my number seven is Rock and Rolla.
Oh, the punt from earlier.
Yes, the punt from earlier. What a good film.
Guy Ritchie getting back to doing after, what was it, Swept Away?
And yeah. Ooh.
What was the other one? I never saw it.
The Madonna.
No point.
The Madonna film.
Yeah.
Look,
you married Madonna.
Whole Revolver, that was a terrible one too.
And I never saw it because everybody's like, it's terrible. Oh, it's, I'm like, so you know what? I love these two movies. I'm just chilling with these two
movies.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay here.
Yeah, I'm you know.
You go on ahead.
You
I'm
do
good.
You. You do you. It's fine. We all got to work. Yeah, so Swept Away and Revolver I did not see, and this came back out. And the what I heard early on was, it's Guy Ritchie.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, I'm good with that. It's a good cast.
It is.
Gerard Butler, Tandy Newton, Tom Wilkerson.
Tom Hardy.
Oh, yeah. That's so the ridiculous names. I thought of it when we were talking about it.
Yeah.
He's Handsome Bob.
Oh, Handsome Bob. That's right. That's right.
Okay. I love it. And other guys have, like, that's Tugga. And you're like, all right, I don't know what that is, but it sounds rough and tumble. Is Handsome Bob? Okay. What does this mean?
Idris Elba's in this thing.
Idris Elba is in this
right,
thing.
Right.
Piven.
Jeremy Piven is.
And Ludacris.
Yeah. And Gemma Arterton, who plays the British girl that's with them at the club. And then Toby Kebbell, who plays the rocker guy they're trying to go after and find, Johnny, whatever his name is.
Good pull.
Who's Wilkerson's son.
But I'm not really tested. What else has Kebbell been in?
Well, he was in that recent Ben-Hur remake.
Didn't see
that. Was terrible. He's also played Dr. Doom in the latest Fantastic Four remake.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Not then, good, but not his fault.
No, but everything he's been in, though, doesn't...
Yeah, take off?
Yeah, it doesn't take off.
Looks
it's
like
a shame.
One of those snake-bitten guys?
Yeah. I think he's Koba, the voice of Koba in the Planet of the Apes series, too, I think.
Let's see, what else? Black Mirror. His episode was good.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
That's
one I don't run to and see too often, Black Mirror.
I watch every once and again.
Yeah?
Some of them I think are really interesting, and then one kind of loses me, and I check out for a little while. I know that's not going anywhere.
And then you come back.
You just come back and then watch something else.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in that new Shyamalan series, Servant.
Okay.
He was in Hurricane Heist, which I should probably watch someday. Yeah, he is Koba in the Planet of the Apes.
I don't even remember that coming out.
Oh, it's one of those terrible action movies where they try to rob a bank in the middle of a hurricane. They know a hurricane is coming, so they set up this thing to rob the banks at the same time.
It's a fine premise.
Because they think they won't get caught by the cops.
Worst title.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's how you know it's shit.
Yeah.
Hurricane Heist. Because look at Crawl.
Oh, yeah.
That is a super interesting
totally.
Premise that is dumb as rocks.
Yeah.
But
it works.
It works, and the movie is actually surprisingly pretty great.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Crawl, it's like 90 minutes, maybe 85 minutes, hits every beat right, and I genuinely believed the two actors, Barry Pepper and the girl that is father-daughter.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty fantastic for as ridiculous a premise as this thing is.
Yeah.
But Crawl, that's an interesting name.
Yeah, Crawl, it gets to the point.
Yeah, quickly. Hurricane Heist, I'm like, all right. Well, because what was the one with...
I think they know what they're getting.
With Morgan Freeman and Christian Slater.
Hard Rain.
Hard Rain.
Yeah.
That's at least interesting. Hard Rain.
Sure, Hard Rain was a good name.
Otherwise, what is that? Flood Robber? I mean, flood, you don't want to use for heist. You know, we just use it for hurricane. Flood the alliterative. Thief. Flood, is there an F?
Flood Thief?
Flood Thief.
Oh, Flood.
Can you get the alliterative? I can't think of an F for that. Flood felonies?
Sure, flood felony.
That's good. Oh my God, sounds like some Boss Hog should be in. That sounds like some low budget.
I forgot, man, flood felony.
Him Dukes is at it again.
It's a flood. Go get a flash. Anyway, yeah. That was your six?
That was yours.
That's my seven. Sorry, rock and roll. Yeah, good story. Gerard Butler's kind of like having a flirtation relationship with Tandy Newton. Mm-hmm. And she's being essentially harassed by this Russian oligarch that she's working for there in London. He's essentially based on Roman Abramovich, who owns Chelsea. Mm-hmm. So that right at that time when Roman Abramovich had just purchased Chelsea, so it all worked. And then Wilkinson is this British gangster guy who's trying to make this all happen. And his son is this coked out guy, but he comes up with stuff on the fly. But he's a brutally vicious dude. So all of it comes together in some fun and interesting ways. So if you haven't seen it, you should definitely watch it. All right. Get Carter with my six. So what's your five, man?
Five is The Long Good Friday.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Cool.
Not a fan?
No, it's not in my top. No, it's not that I'm not a fan. It's not that I didn't make my top 10. I don't run back and watch it. So,
okay.
I saw it once. And I was like, okay, it's cool.
For the time that it came out, I like that it's a slow build and they bring in the IRA angle.
Yeah.
And it's interesting in that. That's a guy that's trying to graduate from the world that he's in and still trying to keep both feet in.
Right, right.
One out, one in.
Right.
And you really can't ride that line. And how that turns out for someone like him. It's like young Bob Hoskins and Helen Mirren. And I'd have to look up who else is in this.
Yeah. It's been a while since I've seen it. So
yeah. Solid actors all around. Mm-hmm. But it really – I understand why Hoskins was kind of announced with this. And people took notice of his name because he has such a commanding presence. It's interesting that my introduction to him was Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
Because – I wasn't old enough to watch all the stuff he'd really done. So it was like the Roger Rabbit Hook run where he started popping up in fair that I would see more often. Got hooked up with Disney, made some sweet, sweet cash. Good for you, Bob. You know?
That's how you do it.
I hope you bought a house, enjoyed some vacations, put the kids through college.
Right.
You know, keep on pretending.
He's like the British Danny DeVito.
Okay. I think Danny's more beloved, well, here, obviously.
Yeah.
But Danny's willing to really go for the joke. In a way that I can't imagine Bob Hoskins. Like Danny.
Maybe I'm wrong. Yeah,
crawling out of that couch on Philly.
Oh, yeah.
When he's been in the whole time just sweating in his underwear. Like, God bless you, man.
Yeah, man.
You have such a good body image of. I wish I had that. Just, it's impressive.
He had a run, man.
See, he's still going. Still going.
He is.
Plus, people like his limoncello, so good on you,
Danny.
Oh,
right, true. It's a good point.
I don't know if they do or don't, but it seems to be still going. It's kind of like Coppola's winery. I hear he makes good wine. I don't like it. But it's been around for long enough to where it's legit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's legit enough that he doesn't have to make movies anymore.
It's not like, you know, Cabo Wabo, you know, Rita or whatever. I don't know what that does.
Right, right.
That to me is Sammy sells it at shows. I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
Do they? I have
no clue.
No but clue. I associated with him and it's like, but I've seen Coppola's in stores.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But good for you to have. I mean, have you seen the beer delivery trucks with George Clooney's vodka? It's him and another dude on like motorcycles.
Or something. Oh, no. I haven't seen
tequila.
That. Oh, tequila, right.
Tequila
I know he has a tequila, yeah.
Yeah.
They actually sold it, from what I understand.
Really? And they're maintaining like his likeness?
Yes. They sold it to somebody and then they said in the deal, but the guy said in the deal, I want to use your likeness. This is great. And they made all this money off of it.
You just got to pay me to continue to use my likeness.
Yeah. Revenue streams, man. Revenue streams. It's smart. It's smart business. Anyway, yeah.
There's a great story about him, and I don't know how many it was, but once he got big enough, he cut like million-dollar checks for X number of friends that helped him get through all the tough times and everything like that. And he wouldn't take no for an answer, like as much as they tried to refuse.
Right.
She's like, it's not happening.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
I'm going to find a way to get this money to you.
It's another dude, Harry Dean Stanton, George Clooney.
Yeah.
Clooney seems to get along with everybody.
It's one of the good
ones.
Seems
like it'd be fun as shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to hang with Clunes.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Long Good Friday, good. Go see it. Boom. I think it's, what is it, like 19, it's like 1980, 81, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's early 80s.
It feels more like a mid-70s movie on some level.
Oh, interesting. Okay, yeah, that's fair. Especially because it's British. When British stuff usually is like a few years behind the American stuff at that time.
The pacing is still closer to Get Carter than it is to 1980s fare.
Right, right, right.
It's not exactly, it's like right in the middle. That's why I said, you know, mid-70s to me seems is the general progression. Just ballpark it here.
A little more advanced.
That's all I'm doing. Just ballparking. It's all life is, kids. Listen out there. Just ballparking. Sometimes you're good at it. Sometimes you're bad.
That's right.
So that is my five. What do you got?
Snatch, which is the pun from earlier.
All right.
Slight pun from earlier.
Pun from earlier.
I thought it would end up higher, but as I kind of like looked through the stuff, I just found myself in like this is one I come back to and enjoy over and over again. But I also think it's not. It's a bit comical in terms of how it handles gangsters, and so I wanted to kind of put the top four to have a little more of a. I don't know, realistic grit. Approach. Yeah, grit to them. Even if there might be some humor in it, I want it to be more grit.
Yeah.
This doesn't have as much grit to it. It's a fun film to watch, though. And it's like enjoyably rewatchable over and over and over again with some great music in this damn thing. Like, the soundtrack is still one of my favorite soundtracks ever. The Oasis
it is.
Song.
There's a number, and they find great songs for specific moments. Like when he knocks Brad Pitt knocks that dude out.
Yeah.
And the slow build and everything like that. It's beautifully shot. Mm-hmm. The cinematography is fantastic. It's well cast all the way around. You've created a world I buy entirely, and this gorgeous shot that is a precursor on some level to the Sherlock Holmes type of cuts you do later where you show
the
advance action and then go into because they have that same fight in two Game of Shadows.
Yep.
It's reminiscent of this.
Yeah, right at the end.
An earlier version.
Yeah. My girlfriend hates those movies, man.
What's that?
My girlfriend hates those movies.
Really?
Oh, God.
It's such an interesting interpretation.
I know. I love it. But I put it on 30 minutes. She was just like, nope, stop it. I don't like it.
I think Harris is very viable.
Hell yeah. He's a great Moriarty.
As Moriarty, yeah.
Great Moriarty.
When in the restaurant scene, that's hard to make real and believable.
Oh.
And the fact that everybody just gets up and calm and coolly collected walks out and they're anonymous. You don't focus on any of them.
Right, right.
It's a great shot because they are anonymous. Yep. It has nothing to do with them. I don't need, you know, anything else. But yeah, I think those are really interesting.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I actually like the second one more than the first one. I've started to develop a deeper love for the second one than the first one, you know. So, anyway, this is such a fun film with, you know, the main guy is Jason Statham with, I always forget his name.
Oh, he's a great actor.
Yeah, he's from Liverpool.
Worked consistently. He played Al Capone.
Yes, he did. He was just in The Irishman as well.
Yeah. The guy that gets into it with Hoffa.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to give up his seat.
It's going to piss me off. Damn it.
He's worked consistently.
Tommy. It's Tommy. His name is Tommy in the movie. What's his name? Crapola.
I don't know. Pull it up. What do you got?
What do you got?
I'm not helping you at all. I'm just staring at my laptop as you rifle away on your phone.
That's fine. I respect that.
Well, you just picked it up so quickly and then I realized that I could be looking as well. And instead of actually helping, I just commented on the fact that I'm just not. I want to see how long it takes you. So at this point.
Stephen Graham. There he is. Damn it. Stephen Graham. Yes. That's going to be a Schmodown question one day. I know it is. That's a five-pointer.
Maybe.
That's a five-pointer
at
least. Yeah,
that's
a
tougher one.
Yeah. Yeah, Vinny Jones in this one, Dennis Farina, Benicio del Toro, Bricktop, who's one of the best guys.
He is a fantastic villain.
Right? Because he's in Lock, Stock as like just the assistant to staying in the bar. But in this one, he is full on like scary as fuck.
Oh, dude, when he's describing the pigs.
Oh.
Do you know why? And just like, oh, shit. This entire, you know. I had heard stories of what, but it had been years.
Yeah.
It had been, not heard stories, I read stories. It's not like I sat by a campfire and somebody.
Let me tell you about a time where you fed him
the pigs.
Exactly.
Guess you ever seen a pig eat a full 250-pound man? Buckle up. I'm not exactly sure what accent that was.
I lost it
halfway through. And that's assuming I had a tenuous grasp on it at best. I've seen it in Deadwood. I've seen it in other iterations. But that was the first one in a while. It was like, oh, yeah, they used to feed bodies to pigs.
Wang, right? Wong. That's right.
Wu.
Right. Wu feeds them to pigs. Right.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Hang Dai. Swearjin Wu. Hang Dai. San Francisco cocksucker? San Francisco cocksucker. Since the best TV show of all time, that movie was not good.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah, no. That's how I ultimately feel about it. Just they crammed too much in.
Yeah, they did. They did.
They put an entire season into a two-hour movie. And
right. It was just about revenge on what's-his-face.
Yeah, but we got a birth and we got a wedding and we got an election and then Hearst comes back into town. You're like, this is a fucking crazy movie.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, if you want to go Irishman 3 hours and change or something.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
That makes a lot more sense.
I don't
disagree. Split it up into two parts. Cramming all this into 2 hours.
Yeah.
When all I want to see is Swearingen.
And you put him in bed the whole time.
Yeah. I know he's older, but come on. Ian McShane's the best. He's the best.
Yeah, this whole thing is just nutty. And, you know, Brad Pitt, of course, does his pikey accent.
Yeah, I'll be damned if that's not gypsy.
Yeah, which is what the pikeys were. A fucking A pikeys. all of that. And the way it all plays out, they have great, just great gritty scenes in this movie. And but it's all like you never really feel the stakes of it. It's always like just played for laughs most of the time. So,
yeah.
Anyway, all right. What's your number four?
Four is Layer Cake.
Oh, yeah. That's my number four. Good stuff. Daniel Perfect Craig. Thing.
You really see the bond.
Oh, yeah. This is the this is him moving towards it. Absolutely.
Full on.
Mm-hmm.
And very well cast.
Yes.
You know, once again, you got the guy that goes on to be Pompey Magnus in Rome.
Right. He's
his boss, Jimmy. You got the dude that was on Star Trek Next Generation.
Yeah, Comini. Yes, yeah. Yes. Who's the girl? Do you remember the girl?
Who's the girl?
She was an American Sniper.
Oh, Sienna Miller.
Yes, Sienna Miller.
Sienna Miller. Oh, and Ben, what's his name? That was in a very British scandal, but he's been in.
Oh, Ben Whishaw.
Yeah.
Oh, young Ben Whishaw.
Exactly. He's in it. The dude that usually plays like a nerdy-ish type of character was one of the Dukes, like his lieutenant, so to speak.
Okay, okay.
He was in Pacific Rim, not the Charlie Day scientist, the other scientist.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
The guy that was in Dark Knight Rises or whatever. Playing the stock market guy that Tom Hardy like
okay.
squishes his head.
Yeah,
that guy. Okay, yeah.
Who else?
Ooh, this is good. Isn't there a black dude in this?
There is a black dude in it, but I can't remember what else he's been. He's one of those of, yes, I recognize you from somewhere because I picture you with a specific hat on.
Right.
Not in this. But he's great,
not,
though.
It's not Idris.
No, it's not Idris. Okay. It's definitely not Idris.
All right.
Let's see who else. Oh,
I'm not going to give it to you, so you tell me. You tell me.
Oh, the guy shit. That plays Jimmy's buddy, that okay. actually is the one that's technically actually running things. And Jimmy, he calls him, he didn't call him a lamprey, but he's swimming in this
boatman?
Dude's week.
The boatman? No.
Now, the boatman gets axed. I don't know who the boatman is.
Jimmy Price.
Jimmy Price is Pompey Magnus.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Ben Whishaw's in this. Dexter Fletcher's in this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another dude from – is Dexter Fletcher from the Guy Ritchie verse?
Yes. So is Jason Fleming. They're both in this from the Guy Ritchie universe. Dexter's a director now.
And who is the black gentleman?
His name is Monty – oh, sorry, George Harris. He plays Monty. But he's been in a number of things.
But where am I thinking of with a fucking ridiculous hat?
Oh.
I
don't know.
What's his name? George Harris?
He's in Raiders of the Lost Ark. He plays Katanga in Raiders of the Lost Ark. Does he have the hat in that film?
I don't know. I'm just pulling up now an image search of the gentleman. This.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's Harry Potter.
That's what it was.
Yeah. He's in the Harry Potter films. That's right.
Just keep seeing him. And like, no, he's got like a shade. Or Shez or whatever the hell it's called. It's a,
yeah. Sally Hawkins.
Or Fez. It's a Fez. But it's not really a Fez. It doesn't have the tassel.
No,
it's much larger.
Right.
But I don't know what the hell that thing's called.
Yeah, yeah. Tom Hardy's in it, too. I forget that Tom Hardy's in it.
Oh, yeah.
Layer Cake, yeah.
Forgot about
Sally
that.
Hawkins too. Yeah, good film, man. Matthew Vaughn directed this one.
It is. It's the drug game, and then I don't know. It's the upper levels of the drug game.
Yeah,
it's real, but realistically comedic.
Yeah.
They're not going for wacky zany, but there's a genuine camaraderie between like Daniel Craig and George Harris.
Yeah,
and Combe. What's
Meany? Yeah, okay. Meany, yeah.
They have a good after they figure out one aspect of it, and they just have like a kind of discussion between the three of them. It's a nice little scene, and they take the time. It's not you know it's going to have twists and turns, but the pauses in between are interesting.
Yeah, agreed.
It's a good one.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
So that was both of our four?
Yeah, both of our fours.
Three is In Bruges.
All right, that's my number two.
Okay.
Yeah. Love this film.
They're in Belgium, but they're English gangsters.
And they're gangsters. I don't want to hear it. They're gangsters. And they're being chased by a gangster near the end of the movie who's been throughout the whole movie, been the reason why they're there. So it's a gangster movie.
Oh, 100%. They're gangsters.
Yeah,
it's gangster. I was just, because it's in Belgium and whatnot, but I was like, well, but Ralph Fiennes is most definitely doing the accent that we associate with criminals in movies in Great Britain.
Why haven't you killed him?
Exactly. Bruges love, like whatever. Like he had some great holiday when he was a kid. And you get there, and it's like, it seems quaint.
Yeah.
It seems, you know, it seems nice. You know, it's like a fairy tale, whatever. He just gets so offended. Like, how could you not like Bruges?
Right.
And this was my introduction to Bruges. I did not know it before this.
Neither did I.
Bruges in Belgium does not.
Which one came first, this one or the lyric in the Austin Powers movie. I think the Austin Powers movie came first. I can't remember.
Yeah, it did. There's no way it didn't.
This to my homies.
The first one?
Yeah. No, the second one when he's like, this for my homies in Bruges.
Don't even remember that line?
Yeah. It's when he's rapping that Hard Knock Life thing with Mini-Me.
I think I squeezed that out of my memory. Like, that is all gibberish to me. I don't remember that at all.
Because it's all a bunch of jibba-jabba. Yeah, all right. Fair enough.
And I never saw Goldfinger or whatever it was.
Goldmember? You never saw Goldmember?
No.
That's quietly my favorite of the three.
Really? Oh, yeah. Maybe for the absurdity, I would appreciate it now.
Yeah. It's nuts.
At the time, I thought two was kind of getting a little too close.
Two was pushing it. Yeah, I agree. I think that's the weakest of the three is two.
That's why I never went back for three. And then everybody's like, oh, no, it's terrible. What have you done with my character?
That's not my Austin Powers.
Oh, man. That first Halloween when everybody was Austin Powers, that must have been insufferable. Insufferable.
My friend Shannon has played him for Universal Studios.
Wow.
Yeah, for years he played him.
People loved him.
Oh, yeah. It's still there.
Yeah. And
they still have the British section of Universal Studios.
Yeah, they got he's quotable.
Yeah.
You know, he's easily consumable. I was part of the generation that helped make it popular.
When I interviewed Jay Roach on one of the last episodes of The Deep Cut about Bombshell, I asked him, are you going to do another Austin Powers? And he was like, well, Mike's been kicking it around for a while.
Of course Mike has. What else has Mike got going?
Right. But if he ever does it, I'm absolutely there to direct it. So that would be fun. He's directed all of them, I think. So it'd be fun to see him direct another one.
Well, if that's the case, then maybe I'll watch Goldmember and then
see
that one just so I know without a doubt I've seen the.
Michael Caine's in it. He plays his dad. It's so good. And he does the Cockney Michael Caine. Yo, brava.
Yeah, but he was just getting out of the hibernation of I'll take any job so long as it pays well enough because I don't care.
How dare you?
Michael Caine did a lot of that.
Well, all right. It's not.
And that was most of my childhood. I knew he was living on the reputation of a cinematic universe that I hadn't experienced yet.
Yeah, but he
I'm sorry. That's the fact of the matter. What I saw, because what was given to me, I watch new movies, you know?
That's a good point. Yeah.
Mike Caine was I didn't
see Mike Caine. Oh, I'm sorry. Mike Caine. Oh.
He's been with me a long time. MC and I.
MC.
Uh-huh. It gets shorter and shorter the longer you know him.
Mikey Caine.
Michael Caine.
I don't want to bury any more Batmans.
Some men just like to watch the world burn. That was terrible.
When you try, though. I'm a big fan of you trying
every
time.
Thank you. Nice. You got a helmet over there for me, son of a bitch. I can hear it in your fucking tone. Huh? Huh?
I do appreciate when people try the accents. I actually am not a negative towards people doing accents. It's fun. This is such a brilliantly subversive film about this relationship between the two guys and what Brendan Gleeson and Colin Farrell go through after, is it Kieran Hines who plays the priest who gets killed? The little baby.
It was a kid.
Yeah, they were trying to kill Kieran
Hines. That's
why
he was struggling with it.
Right, right. And Farrell plays like this guy who's not that smart, and he got into this situation, but he's sweet, and he has this weird kind of fever dream throughout the whole time while he's there.
Didn't you? I took it also, too. He thought he was signing on for the edict of the mob of we only kill our own.
Yeah.
So he would have been fine with killing another grown man.
Sure.
But the fact that this innocent individual, something he never anticipated because perhaps he hadn't thought that far down the road.
Right, right. That was possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That this is an outcome that could happen to you if you're going to live this lifestyle and carry a gun and, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And that to me is the true heartbreak of it. It's just, I don't know, he was a young kid and got into something he shouldn't have because it was easy money.
Yeah.
And he was good at it, and he had no better options.
It's a shame.
Yeah, it is.
It's a goddamn shame.
Dude, when he, fat Americans?
Going
up the top, he's like, you'll never make it up there. And they're running after him, and he's just staying just enough out of reach. It's a great scene. It is. They managed to mine really genuine moments like that of comedy.
Yeah.
And then it gets back into, because it gets pretty serious.
It does.
But beautiful, too. That ending.
Oh.
Is really fantastic. It's like a dream coming to life.
Yeah. It's also brutal, too. Uh-huh. What happens to Brendan Gleeson? Oh, my God. The sound. You're just like, oh. It's unsettling, man. But a good film. Brilliant film. One of those quietly brilliant films. That was your number three?
Yeah, my three.
So my three is Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
That is now technically a punt.
Wow. All right. What's your number two?
Two is Sexy Beast.
Are you fucking crazy, man?
It's for the rewatchability.
Yeah?
No. My number one.
Oh, I see,
That's why it takes the... Okay. I know I'm going to see this one way more. Sexy Beast is unsettling.
That's brilliant, man.
Kingsley gets under your skin.
Oh, so good.
And...
it's my number one.
Just how, you know, you can spot craftsmanship, you can see the devil.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter what size the package is, because it's the axiom from boxing. It doesn't matter the size of the dog in the fight. It matters the size of the fight in the dog.
Right.
And when you see the devil walk in and be like, well, there's no amount of fight.
Yeah.
That dude is just pure evil. And you can spot it.
Yeah.
I've been around just like you have. Some dudes are just like, I don't like the look in your eye.
Oh.
There's something about you that is unsettling.
The fuck? He doesn't know how to negotiate his emotions at all. And so it
he doesn't know how to deal with people.
Yeah, right. He has no concept of how to deal with people.
They've been to his will because that's the only way he understands and can process the universe, and he's doing a terrible job at that.
Well, it's also ironic, too, because when they bend to his will, he hates them even more.
Yes.
Because the fact that they would be willing to be pushed around by him, you know.
He hates everything.
Yeah, he hates everything.
He's never pleased.
No.
And all these dudes kind of kowtowing, doing especially
about Ray Winston?
Damn you. I was like, Ray. I'm trying not to lose my memory.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I'll let you do it. I apologize.
It's fine. Just getting supplanted by basketball stats.
Yeah.
Useless.
You have them all over the place, man.
Basketball stats. I got those for days now.
You know what? One of the positives about being let go, man, is I can spend more time reading these articles about it.
This, yeah.
I'm excited. I'm like.
The coverage of sport in general.
Yeah, is so exploding.
You can drop right into whatever world you want to get into.
Yeah.
And be fully immersed and can find, even if it's an opinion you don't agree with, it's well thought out.
Yeah.
And it makes you reevaluate your understanding. Like, I don't fully buy what you're saying, but that's interesting. And it's helping change how I perceive.
I miss when The Ringer used to do every couple of days, they do like a breakdown of all the games that have happened over the last couple of days. And they would break it every couple of days. And you'd read, oh, what did they do this time? Those were great articles to read. They kept you in, dialed into the NBA.
Okay.
They don't do that as much now. They
really?
Profile
NBA
teams.
Usually, I don't go to The Ringer specifically.
Oh, okay.
Like if it gets diverted from somewhere else, like,
right.
Oh, check out this Ringer. It's nothing against them. I digest from other places.
Well, they'll break down other teams. They'll break down situations and what teams apply to the situations. Like I was reading the trade one recently. Mm-hmm. They were talking about what teams should be trading, should not be trading, and all this kind of jazz
did
is happening.
The Bleacher Report one?
I did not. No, I haven't read that one.
Okay.
I'll take a look at that one, too.
That's one. The Athletic's got one, but you got to pay to get behind
the
paywall.
The Athletic.
Okay.
Yeah. I pay for that one.
Yeah, Athletic's got one.
That's great cover.
Everybody's got one.
Athletic's the best, dude.
But they got some fantastic cover.
I mean, that's why. When they went half off during Christmas for, I think, $30 or something like that, I was doomed. I was like, $30? Please, I'm going to get more than $30 of reading out of this.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, for the year. It was perfect.
I did that with a podcast that I love. Just like, your old back catalog is X?
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
I will listen to all of it. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Sexy Beast, Ian McShane, my boy.
Yes.
My boy.
Yeah.
Black it's Daddy. A stellar cast top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
They have all these great, character actors from England popping in that it's interesting to see the assortment. It's kind of, to watch all these guys work within a room.
Yeah.
All these actors. That's why when ensemble's done well, it's tough to beat as my favorite thing in cinema. Because when a scene comes alive and it's electric and everybody's on their marks and really believing in their characters and whatnot, and they bring just through their interactions, I mean, it's like watching 12 Angry Men.
Mm.
You're all – this is a room. So you need to really captivate me. And plus now with, six decades between me and your release, and it's still as effective.
Yeah.
And you can do that on Sexy Beast. It's the tension. It's the implied violence and implied threat at all times.
Right.
Yeah. Kingsley is just unsettling. I won't watch it as many times. That's why it's not number one.
Oh, wow. I have a rewatchability on this. Like, it's off the charts for me. I can watch it over and over and over.
I think I can watch pockets.
I like him. I like him so much. Ray Winstone and the chemistry with him.
But it's so heartbreaking because you just know.
Yeah. Where it's going to go.
Yeah.
But also that weird kind of gay subplot with him and...
It's a whole weird world.
Edward Fox. Yeah, it's just kind of weird.
They do that in Layer Cake.
Yeah, the British gangster world's weird.
The former head crazy something or other.
Yeah.
He was gay. And the quote in it was like, shagging birds is for poofs, I think is the line. Like, that's interesting.
Yeah. That's the easy one, shagging buds.
Yeah.
You try shagging men.
I had a buddy had a bit akin to that years ago. It just crushed.
Oh,
it's
really?
You see it and you're like, the ball's on you to pull this off, and it's great. I've never seen it not work in every room, but it takes a real chutzpah to start this.
Yeah.
He had like two or three of those, and you're like, when that crushes, man, it crushes unlike anything else.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I just saw the Leslie Jones one that dropped yesterday.
How was it?
You like I actually it? Liked it a lot. It's good. An hour and 6 minutes. She does the Kinnison thing a bit, like the yelling and stuff, but it works, and okay. It's funny. And I've never seen comedy from a woman talking about getting older in her 50s. And so, like, she talks about, like, 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. Like, mm-hmm. The differences. That's the whole set. And then there's stories interspersed. And I was just, like, shocked by it. I'd never seen anything like that. And that was brilliantly funny. And the new Michelle Wolf one was good, too.
Nice.
I like that one. That was really good. No politics at all to the last joke. Everything else is
good
for her. She doesn't need to.
Well, but most people are tuning in to see when she gets to it.
And right.
Doing the last one, it acknowledges, I know what you're here for.
That's smart, yeah.
And I'm closing on that. I didn't give it to you. I delivered something else. Smart.
Yeah.
Like, even her, you know, correspondence dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the room was not enjoying.
It's not the right room, but it was brilliant.
To watch the fearlessness.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Have you seen the Birbiglia one yet? Are you like not a fan of his?
No, I like Birbiglia.
Okay.
He's fun.
Seemed like an interesting one. I don't know.
By all accounts, he's a really nice guy.
And, yeah, yeah.
You know, he's been working steadily for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, okay. He's had numerous one-man shows that have done insanely well for himself and written books. And he's got an interesting story. He has like some weird sleep disorder.
Okay.
Where it's like a sleepwalking thing, but he threw himself out sleepwalking out of a window at a hotel up in the Pacific Northwest on the second floor, I think.
Fuck.
So now he has like a special blanket that he has to sleep in, but it was part of it. He turned it into a show.
Holy shit.
Yeah. It's super interesting. I've never really gotten into that, but his story is amazing. And all I've ever heard from anybody that interacts with him, it's a great guy.
Wow.
So I was like, good for you, man. Keep working. Because I think initially when he came out, he may have had, you know, he knew people.
Yeah.
And there was nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you know somebody.
Yep.
And if you're good enough, doesn't matter. It would have taken you longer to get here, but
right.
The door would have opened.
Right.
So I think that was it. But I didn't know him, and I didn't grow up.
You know,
he's 10 years before when I started.
Yeah. So where were we? Snatch. Lockstock.
Sexy Beast.
Yeah,
Lockstock is my number one.
All right.
Just the first thing I think of when I think of British gangster movies.
Totally.
Guy Ritchie really brought it back around to the degree that made me go back and search for the previous generations.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have seen those had there not been this successful version in my lifetime, at least all the ones that I have seen.
Right.
And still miss some. But to turn it into a global hit, that and then Snatch thereafter. Mm-hmm. But this interesting ensemble cast of some guys that went off and have been consistently working every day since. Although the lead in that, I can't think of what else has he been in.
He kind of disappeared for a while. Now he just pops up and does random guest star stuff on British TV.
Okay.
Every time he pops up, I'm like, you're the one that didn't make it? You're so good.
Or didn't
make it to that level.
Did the Hartnett for some reason checked out?
Yeah,
for whatever
maybe.
Decision. And then
maybe.
Well, you're not getting those shots, although Hartnett got to go a lot higher.
He did. Because Fletcher and Jason Fleming and what's-his-face, Jason Statham, all have a certain modicum of success.
Statham's introduction to the world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he has been...
He isn't even the lead.
No.
Yeah.
But damned if he isn't, like, great in every scene.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's the most badass of the four, and it shows.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Through the whole time.
It really does.
Yeah.
It's where I learned the word copious.
Grow copious amounts.
It's where I got it. I was like, Cope, I've never heard that one before. File that away. But more often than not, when I use it, I think of that in my head. Copious amounts of weed.
Yeah.
Like, you don't see the problem with this? We have a cage at the door so people can't just get in with guns and shit.
Right.
You don't see a problem with this.
The girl that's like sleeping on the bed and all of a sudden flips out with the machine gun. You're like, holy fuck, what the hell is this?
Yeah, the narcoleptic practically.
Yeah. All those guys. It's great characters throughout. You know, you've got the I don't know, the criminals that live next to the dude, next to the four of them. They're planning their heist. You've got,
sure, and they hear it through the wall,
yeah,
type of thing.
Yeah, so they're trying to. You got Vinnie Jones in this thing, this first like kind of really explosion of Vinnie Jones. You've got the black dude who's like in charge of the area there with the Jerry Curl. I forget his name.
Oh yeah, short little.
Yeah, he's crazy.
Eddie Griffin looking.
Yeah, yeah.
But not Eddie Griffin.
Right.
Yeah, because they're at that bar, and doesn't he light the dude on fire?
Yeah, he does. Take lights the dude on fire.
Yeah. And I love how that shot, too, because you don't realize it initially on, and then they flip to his perspective later.
Yeah.
And you see that he was in the bar at the same time as those guys. And then the craziness that happened behind you, he was the author of that.
Right.
Yeah, just excellent pacing. They flash back and forth. The two guys that are going to steal the two shotguns.
Yeah.
And whatnot.
What, guns that fire shots? Oh, you're the brains of the outfit. That guy, the governor, who's a real guy. That guy was really part of the syndicate and British gangster himself.
How could you not be?
I know. He's meaty hands, man.
Well, you look like a human bulldog.
Yeah.
So what else does a human bulldog do except get in to be an enforcer for crime syndicate?
It's true.
I don't know what else you use a full-blooded bulldog
for, yeah. He's so good in it, too, man.
He is. I was surprised I didn't see more of him.
Oh, you're the brains of the outfit, yeah.
You tell me he couldn't pop in every once in a while, some Ocean's 11 type of...
Oh, yeah. Well, he died.
Oh, did he?
He died right after making the movie.
Okay. I was going to say, like, why didn't he have a run?
Oh, yeah. He should have.
Okay.
He's been in other... He was in other things before Lockstock. He's like Vinnie Jones. He was transitioning into acting, but he was so good in this movie, man.
And yeah, but he was just never introduced to us as much as British audiences or whoever saw him over there.
And then Harry was good, too. The guy who plays the villain. And Sting's in this motherfucker.
Sting's is, yeah. It's his dad.
Yeah.
He's got that bar. Leverages that bar. Shouldn't do it. Shouldn't do it. They're peeking over your shoulder. Yep. They're Houston Astro-ing you. Dude, that...
Don't get me started on that.
Dude, just to close on is utterly ridiculous. I don't care about baseball at all anymore. I stopped caring.
Sure.
And it is utterly... How you don't vacate that
is beyond me. You've got to vacate the series.
How you don't is beyond me.
You have to vacate every single playoff win during that whole run.
I just think it's one of those of you don't even give the Dodgers you can give them the trophy, but it's one of the
– Right.
There was no winner that year because you guys cheated. Make it even more ignominious for the Astros. You get to carry the stain as being the only one. There was never a winner one season because you guys cheated.
Taking first rounders – Okay.
Losing a front office and a manager?
Okay.
But when it was the players that did it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Even the Red Sox fired their manager, Cora.
They had to.
Yeah, right.
They had to. Baseball is now, this is their PR, like we're stomping out fires. Mm-hmm. Who can they get away with firing or asking to step down in the better interest of the team? Okay, wink, wink. But no players are facing it's just from afar.
It's mind-blowing.
It is.
And they're like, oh, we wouldn't be able to tell which pitcher did what, which pitch. And I'm like.
Dude.
I think they're afraid that if they started doing that, the players' union, it would be locked up in legal battles forever.
Give all the footage from the entire playoffs to all the conspiracy nerds in the world who have gone through, like, all the Apollo released whatnot, has spent way more time on something that once you see it, you're like, okay, I don't believe you.
Yeah.
And you're like, ah! You know, it's been years. You got to believe me. Please believe me. No, it's not happening. But there's so many people that would get bogged down into this, down to the tiniest of minutia and be like, right here, you can – isolate the audio.
Yeah.
Here's a trash can. Here's a trash can. Oh, look at that. Their batting average goes up, 50 percentage points.
Yeah.
So now they're batting near 300 as a team all of a sudden. Every time you hear a trash can, that's really interesting. Yeah. You hit two times the home runs at home.
Bunt.
Than you did on the road. Your slugging percentage was up. A crazy percentage at home. I realize the sample size is tiny, but
there's a lot to explore here.
We all know there was fire, so now we're just looking for how much smoke.
Yeah.
As opposed to the inverse.
You got to vacate the series, man. I'm mad they didn't vacate the series.
I know. Anyway, that's
it. Yeah, it's just a segue.
Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, guys.
There
go
you
see
go.
That.
Yeah.
My third recommendation.
That's our separate top 10 lists. Now we're going to put the – oh, I don't know. Are they still doing the graphics for us?
I asked Cody today, and I sent him two lists.
Yeah.
If you'd send him and he was like, I'll definitely do it for this week. The one that comes out for last week's show, Best of 2019.
Okay.
And I was like, just let me know. Do we need to keep doing this?
Yeah.
We also forgot to break once again.
Oh, God damn it.
I know, 2 weeks in a row.
Oh, well.
Hopefully there's enough of a pause. Any hoozle. so I don't know. So I guess do one more rundown and we'll play by ear going forward.
My sounds good.
10 is Rock and Roller. 9 is Don Hemingway. 8 is The Bank Heist. 7, Get Carter. 6, Snatch. 5, The Long Good Friday. 4, Layer Cake. 3, In Bruges. 2, Sexy Beast. Number 1, Lock, Stock, and 2, Smoking Barrels.
Boom. My number 10 is Legend. Number 9 is Dom Hemingway. Number 8 is Gangster, number 1. Number 7, Rock and Roller. Number 6, Get Carter. Number 5, Snatch. Number 4, Layer Cake. Number 3, Lock, Stock, and 2, Smoking Barrels. Number 2, In Bruges. And number 1, Sexy Beast. All right, let's put this thing together, man. You writing? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I got it. So Sexy Beast is 1.
Okay.
Because it's 1-2.
Okay.
Then it's 1-3 on Lockstock.
Okay.
So I would say that's probably next.
Uh-huh. What's In Bruges?
That would be our next, and then Layer Cake.
Okay. That was good in that.
Well, we have a lot, you know, we have mm-hmm. 3 of the same in the top 4, so it's just a matter of figuring out where all these motherfuckers go. 4, Layer Cake. 5, my 5 you don't have. What's your 5?
Snatch.
Okay, Snatch it is.
Okay.
And then, what, Get Carter, Dom Hemingway?
Yeah, I got Get Carter as 6.
Or Don Hemingway. And then Rock and Roller, right?
Yeah.
Get Carter, I have it 7.
Okay, I have it at 6.
All right. Would you give me Long Good Friday there?
Yeah, sure.
All right. What do you have higher, Hemingway or Rock and Roller?
Rock and Roller is at 7 for me.
And Hemingway's 9?
Yeah.
All right. So Rock and Roller.
Dom Hemingway.
And then what's your last highest?
Number 8, Gangster, number 1.
Mine is The Bank Job.
Okay. Number what, 7?
That's my number 8 as well. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
So it's the same.
That's fine.
I haven't seen yours. You haven't seen mine.
That's all right. Put Bank Job in there.
All right, there we go. Easy peasy.
All right. The top 10 British gangster movies. Yeah. At number 10.
The Bank Job.
At number 9.
Don Hemingway.
At number 8.
Rock and Roller.
At number 7.
The Long Good Friday.
At number 6.
Get Carter.
At number 5.
Snatch.
At number 4.
Layer Cake.
At number 3.
In Bruges.
At number 2.
Lock, Stock, and 2 Smoking Barrels.
And our number 1 British gangster movie is
Sexy Beast.
Oh, yeah. He's boiling. Hot it is.
Rotten Peaches. I never heard that song. What's that song? Peaches? Rotten Peaches. No, is that what it's called? Oh, well. Song by the Peaches. Or the Stranglers. Something called the Peaches. Anyway, I never heard it until I saw Sexy Beast. And I love that song.
Okay.
Anyway, there it is. Our top 10 British gangster movies.
Correct. The one that I saw on a list, and I was like, I don't count that. Eastern Promises.
Oh, yeah, no.
Takes place in London, but they're Russian mob.
Yeah, the Russian mob.
So that to me disqualifies. Just
I agree.
That's why in Bruges, and like, they can be wherever they want to, but they're British gangsters.
Right, right.
This just happens to be happening in London. That's not the same thing.
Yeah, agreed. We'll see how Gentleman is. We'll see how that is. I'm going to go see it at least a couple of weeks, or maybe there's a screening next week.
Early returns on Rotten Tomatoes seem to be pretty good.
Oh, good. That's a positive.
Yeah. It's sitting at a 75.
Oh, that is great.
I know. Because
holy crap.
When I saw the poster originally, I was like, Matthew McConaughey needs to fire his agent.
Why?
I'm not kidding.
He's won Oscars and he's doing fine.
He has. But since that run, that 2-3 year run, it's been weird, doesn't get the buzz, the beach bum.
Yeah, I don't think he cares anymore now. I think he's just happy doing projects that excite him. He's made his money. He's made his name. He's set up. That Lincoln. He's got that Lincoln money.
Yeah, yeah. But he still wants the acclaim.
Yeah, I guess.
He's
maybe.
An actor.
Yeah. You think he'll end up in a superhero film?
No. I don't see him doing that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I would say Sing, I didn't see. Kubo and the Two Strings was the last one that I really loved of his.
Oh, yeah, because he did a voiceover there.
Yeah, because you got Gold, The Dark Tower.
Gold was good.
White Boy Rick. I thought Gold was fine.
Yeah.
White Boy Rick. I liked his choices.
Yeah.
I just think the overall, him and the Pedro, not Pedro, but the guy that was on the killing of Giovanni, the assassination of Giovanni Versace.
Oh, okay.
He
Diego
plays Luna? The other dude.
Diego Luna or Gael Garcia Bernal?
Could be.
Okay.
I don't think so, though.
Okay. I don't know. Edgar Ramirez.
There you go.
Yes. He's good. I like Edgar.
I like, the two of them in it.
Yep.
Serenity, The Beach Bum, which I heard actually The Beach Bum is better than you think.
Okay.
But it's sitting at 56%.
So maybe not as good.
As is Gold's at 43%.
Yeah, well, that's surprising to me.
But it's just had a few of these were like, like Gold had
right.
Oscar aspirations, I think, originally.
Yes.
And it just didn't deliver on. Dark Tower was supposed to be a big, huge box office payday.
Yep.
Didn't deliver.
Nope.
White Boy Rick, another kind of Oscar baity could be.
White Boy Rick.
So anyway, I hope it, you know, although McConaughey is going to be in our life for a long, long time.
Yes.
So the relist won't be out on this Sunday. Just with the new year coming back, it was, you know, returns from people a little bit slower. So we couldn't get it all exactly in time by the time we had to record. So it just delayed by 1 week.
Yeah.
It'll start. You'll still get it the beginning of next month. And yeah, we got shout outs for you next week.
That's right.
Houston, once again, be on the lookout. If you purchase tickets, once they take it off the calendar, they'll send you an email. And if you have any problems, please, once again, reach out over email at top10podcast, all spelled out, at Gmail. Which one is it? I think that's the only one that I waver on. I was like, which one is it again? The Top 10 Podcast or Top 10 Show, all spelled out.
Okay.
And now it won't let me scroll down. Top 10 Podcast at Gmail, all spelled out. And hit us up over there if you have any troubles. And May 2nd, London, kingsplace.co.uk.
Yeah.
Come out. Let's make some magic. Maybe we're looking to get in a photographer. There's potential sex swings on the table. There's all kinds of stuff. You already heard all this.
It's all in play.
It's all in play. There's a lot of choices.
Let's make it happen.
We have gotten weirdly sexual in some regard on our choices so far.
Sure.
There was the Speedos.
Oh, there was a Speedos.
Yeah. But you wanted a robe thereafter, and I'm like, for a penny, in for a pound.
Oh, that's fair.
If we're doing this, we're doing this.
I'm going to Union Jack on my ass. Anyway, there we go.
I want it right over the front. That way the sun never sets on the English Empire. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
We're getting Harry and Meghan, and you guys are getting us.
Maybe we should get Meghan to come and be on the show.
Please. She wants out of that country. They're leaving.
They're already left. She called into the meeting from Canada.
Really?
I didn't know. She was like, I'm not leaving. I'm good. You guys have your meeting. I'm going to be over here to take care of my baby. I thought it was brilliant.
I love that she's big league in...
She's big league in the monarchy.
That's how much power the monarchy has.
All right. She's big league in the monarchy, man. You got to respect that. My girlfriend hates it, but I love what Megan's doing. She's
I don't care in the slightest.
That's fair.
Didn't know that she called in, all that.
Yeah. It's a big deal. Yeah, breaking the British family apart, the monarchy apart.
They're really not.
I don't know.
Because he's never going to be king.
No. So what does it matter?
Exactly.
Right.
See, the reason that she is there, as we have watched and seen in other movies and whatnot, is because her uncle abdicated the throne.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to marry a two-time divorcee who was currently married.
Yeah.
And wanted to live a playboy lifestyle. And he lamented that decision later on, but still enjoyed his life. He just wanted his cake and eat it too. And people were like, no, you're afraid of the looming war and don't want to have to do what needs to be done.
Right.
You're shirking the duty. You don't get the praise thereafter.
You got to take the punishment.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. And that's our top 10 list for this week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Like you said, like Matt was saying, May 2nd, King's Place, go get those tickets now. Get it, all your friends and family in there. We're going to have a good time. Those of you who came before, tell other people. Go in the Facebook group. Tell them your favorite experiences of being there in the live event and see if they to kind of excite them to come.
Why don't we bring a little piece of Americana with us and we'll do like a fish fry while the show's going on. And then we feed everybody at the end, you know? Bring some of that down south that we're accustomed to, the hospitality, and bring that to the people.
You want us to do a fish fry? We're not going to be allowed to do a fish fry.
We won't get the permits, but I like the promise.
You know, the idea.
Or not promise, but sell on the idea.
Yeah. I like the idea.
We'll bring some ribs. We'll do something. We'll FedEx in some great baby backs.
Where's the New York people? I thought New York was – has it been building at all, the New York page? I don't see the New York page building up. If you are a New York person, Edward Harrell, I think, started a top 10 Facebook page for New York. Go and sign up. Go get on there, and because we want to come to New York as well, we'd be down to a show in New York.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And Boston, get your cities in place, son.
Please, we want to go wherever people want to see.
Yeah, are you checking right now?
No, I am pulling up because we should still have ours up. Yeah, we have ours up.
Cool. Yeah, go there.
Which is facebook.com/groups/. top 10 with the number 10 NYC. Top 10 go. NYC.
There you go. So
Facebook.com/groups/top10NYC.
All right. And if you want to donate to the, if you want to support the show, you go to www.patreon.com/the top 10 number 10 there. For me personally, you can follow me at The Roca Says. I also have, as I said, my YouTube page, www.youtube.com/John Roca Says. Go and sign up there. I got a lot of content coming over the next couple of weeks, so get ready. All of that, Matt.
Please follow him. Do all that jazz. I'm at Matt Nost. Follow the show at Top 10 Show. Leave us a rating on iTunes, wherever you listen to it. We thoroughly appreciate it. And thank you to everybody that supports us and all the different cities. Houston, we're working on another venue.
Yeah.
We'll be in touch very, very soon. Mm-hmm. And that is it this week for the Top 10 Show.
Napa Know How.
At Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, get a $25 prepaid Visa card when you get any Napa Automotive battery. It's the best deal for some of the best batteries from some of the best car people around. But we might be a little partial. Anywho, pick up any Napa Automotive battery and save $25. Do it yourself or have it done for you. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, while supplies last, offer ends 8/31/20.
Stay little Chico Pitbull, Mr. 305, better said Mr. Worldwide, and I'm here to tell you about my new podcast, From Negative to Positive, brought to you by my friends over at State Farm. I believe that to have success, you got to play the game so that the game doesn't play you. You know, the biggest risk you take is not taking one. It's very important that you make sure that you make the most out of your money, especially when it comes to insurance. State Farm offers surprisingly great rates. They have great agents standing by helping you personalize your coverage. All this is backed up by award-winning, easy-to-use technology. It's a great price with an even greater service. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.